As many of us return to the workplace after the holidays, and some of us for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic struck in March, there's debate over whether employers should require workers to take the COVID-19 vaccine when it is available. The law says companies can, but should they? Employment attorney Sean Cashmar joins The Commute to discuss. The Commute is presented by National Office Systems. From the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com, this is the January the 5th episode of the Commute Podcast. I'm Adam Van Bremmer, editorial page editor, opinion columnist, and the host of this twice-weekly podcast where we talk to the Savannah community's top newsmakers about the issues of the day. On today's episode, we speak with attorney Sean Cashmar about the COVID-19 vaccine and whether employees can or should mandate it for workers, vendors, customers, and more. While Sean settles in here in the studio, I'll take the time to tell you about my favorite office designers, the team at National Office Systems. The Commute's presenting sponsor knows the office is more than just a place to do our work. When you spend about a third of your week in one place, it better be functional and comfortable. National Office Systems can take your office to the next level. Owner Scott Center and his team have been assisting Savannah businesses with office solutions since the 1980s. National Office Systems partners with Dirt Modular Interiors, which specializes in configurable office environments manufactured right here in Savannah, as well as with Herman Miller, the leader in office furniture. Learn more about National Office Systems and how they can elevate your workspace by visiting natoffsys.com. That's natoffsys.com. Joined on the commute today by Sean Cashmar, who I usually deal with in his role as a school board representative. And truth be told, he is my school board representative, so he probably hears more from me than the others do. But today he is in the studio to talk about the COVID-19 vaccine and employers and going back to work, because school board representative is not a full-time job. His real job is as an attorney with Hunter McLean. He deals largely with employment issues. Is that fair to say,
Sean? That's right.
And he penned a piece that recently ran in a paper talking about basically the law says that employers can require you to have a vaccine, but should they actually go through with that? What are the pros and cons? What are, you know, while it's legally interpreted one way, could it end up being interpreted another way down the road? Because we probably will see challenges no matter what anybody does. So, Sean, I'm going to shut up and get out of your way. And so should they be requiring vaccines as we start to go back to work?
Adam, thanks for having me. I'm going to give you my favorite lawyer answer to that question, which is, it depends. Mm-hmm. There really isn't a firm way to go. There's pros and cons for requiring them or not. There's lots of things that employers should consider when making that decision. But I thank you for having me here. This is a timely topic. With the rollout of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, I've been getting a lot of questions from clients about, you know, when will we be able to get vaccines and what should we do?
Let me interrupt you.
Sure.
Are these employers that have already brought people back into the office or the workplace, or a mix? Or
a mix.
Okay.
Frankly, most of the clients that I work with have employees in the workplace. They've instituted mitigation measures to fight or prevent the spread of COVID, lots of PPE and social distancing. Mm-hmm. Some have temperature checks and all that. Almost everyone I've gotten calls from, though, they have people back in the workplace.
Okay.
And there's kind of two questions. One, once vaccines become available, should I mandate them for staff? And even some ask, should I mandate them for visitors to the workplace, too? Customers,
sure.
Repair people. And then second, how long do I have to keep doing the COVID mitigation measures, even after vaccines start rolling out? So those are kind of two related issues. Luckily, we've gotten some guidance from the CDC and Georgia Department of Public Health on both of those issues. The short answer, and then we can dive into a little bit, the short answer is in the United States, employers can mandate that employees get vaccines,
mm-hmm.
But you don't have to, but it's up to the employer. Number one. And then number two, on the COVID mitigation efforts, all the guidance right now seems to suggest, even with vaccines rolling out and employees getting them, you should still continue the COVID mitigation efforts in the workplace for the short term until at least we reach some level of herd immunity.
Right.
Dr. Fauci has said, anywhere between 70% and 85% of the population being vaccinated or having antibodies is a good goal for herd immunity.
Away.
That's a long ways away. not just because of vaccine availability, but also because of the political and ethical issues associated with vaccines as well. So the guidance right now is, even with vaccines coming out, workplaces should still keep in place the COVID mitigation efforts, the PPE, the social distancing, et cetera, because one of the things we don't know about these vaccines is, does it prevent the spread of the virus?
The transmission.
So that's kind of the big picture. Mm-hmm. You know, real quick primer on the vaccines. As we all know, they were developed, some through Operation Warp Speed, some by private companies on their own. And there's kind of two different variants of the vaccines. One is the traditional, using some snippet of the live virus to create a vaccine.
Like a flu shot.
AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, those are the tried and true method of creating a vaccine. I think both of those entities are starting to come out with their trials and asking for emergency use authorization. What I've seen so far is an efficacy rate of somewhere between 70% and 80% for those.
Mm-hmm.
But that was based on one article I read, so it may be higher. And then we have these new mRNA vaccines that Pfizer and Moderna have come out with. And the mRNA technology has been around for a while, but the vaccine development, it's kind of a new way to develop vaccines.
This is the first one, is what I understand.
It's the first one.
The first two, right?
And interestingly, they're showing 95% efficacy with nominal side effects, although they can be serious for those that experience side effects, as we've seen in the media. So we've got these vaccines coming out. Each state has developed their own plan for vaccine rollout.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to the Georgia Department of Public Health website. They have a section on COVID.
Right.
And they've said, here's how we're going to distribute it in Georgia. And then you can go to the Coastal Health District website as well. And there's information there about how they're going to distribute the vaccine. So employers who are, wondering, okay, when can we get in line or when can my people get vaccines? It depends on what kind of employer you are.
Right.
Frontline healthcare workers are getting it first, long-term care facilities, but then after that, you've got first responders, you've got people in positions where they're higher risk for being exposed to COVID, or they're working with populations that could be at high risk as well. So you can look at the website and see where you are in the rollout phase, where you are in line. And then, I think we've all seen the stories about the federal government has gone out and bought hundreds of millions of doses of the various vaccines, and they've hedged their bets buying it from different manufacturers. So what will be available for you or me in a couple of months, we don't know which vaccine it's going to be. So there's no current mandate that says anybody has to get the COVID vaccine. Governor Kemp and President-elect Biden have both said they have no intention at this point of mandating vaccines, either at the federal level or at the state level.
They do have the power to do that technically, though, correct?
Well, that's an interesting question.
It depends.
It depends. Exactly. I will say this. I can't answer that question offhand. I don't know if there's a law that gives them the ability to do that on their own, or whether Congress or, the Georgia General Assembly would have to do that. I will say this. Georgia right now, Georgia law says that healthcare providers have to offer the flu vaccine, vaccine to their employees. So that's not a mandate, but it's a mandate to offer it.
Mm-hmm.
And then state law also right now mandates vaccines for school children going to public schools. And that's from K up through the university system. So unless you have, there's some small exemptions for religious or medical reasons. But you have to be vaccinated to attend a public school in Georgia, and there's a long list of those. And then that same law that addresses school children also provides that the State Department of Public Health and local health departments can mandate vaccines in the event of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I think locally it can be mandated. Mm-hmm. Whether they will is a different issue. And I don't see a local health department or the state health department issuing a mandate that the governor doesn't support.
Right.
But I think the power is there. Right. Whether it gets done is a different question. And if you look at how Governor Kemp has managed COVID in the state, mm-hmm. without mandating masks, without mandating closures in specific areas, you know, I doubt that he's going to mandate a vaccine.
Especially if the numbers continue. I mean, it went from 50% said they wanted it to 60%. It seems to be trending up. So unless there's a real problem there, why even mess with it?
Right. And you're right. The surveys initially, you know, a majority of people surveyed said, I'm not getting a vaccine. But I think you're right. The trend is now, okay, we see it's safe. We see millions of people getting vaccinated now with very little side effects.
And we're tired of this thing, so we get past it.
You're right. We all have COVID fatigue.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the state of the law. And, you know, interestingly, there's some employers who have said, we are going to mandate it for our people. Mm-hmm. And there's some who have even said, we're going to mandate it for customers, too.
Right.
Qantas Airlines
right.
Came out and said, you know, we're going to require it for all of our employees and for people who want to fly.
Getting on a plane, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's a good idea or not, I think the thought process is our employees will be more comfortable coming back to work right. and not looking for a reason to get out of work. If they know everyone around them is vaccinated, and if they know the people on the planes, you know, the customers are vaccinated as well. And I think they think the bottom line might be improved because we might attract people to our airline who know we're mandating vaccines and it's a safer environment
right.
than the airline next door. So maybe they're willing to pay a few more bucks to know everybody's vaccinated.
Right. Are the clients that are calling you, are they hearing from their employees that one way or the other, that yes, we want to come back if you get everybody vaccinated, or I'm not coming back if you tell me I have to get the vaccine? Are you getting any kind of indication on that?
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, employers can require that employees come back to work, mm-hmm. period. You know, you have the FFCRA, which provided a period of paid sick leave and paid family leave related to COVID. And you have you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act, which says if somebody has a medical condition, a disability that would put them at heightened risk from exposure to COVID, they have to be accommodated. They have to be given a reasonable accommodation unless it would be an undue hardship on the business. So the ability to work from home is accounted for in the FFCRA, mm-hmm. The Family Friendly Coronavirus Relief Act. And then it's also accounted for under the Americans with Disabilities Act. One accommodation could be remote work.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to give the ability to work remotely if it would be an undue hardship on the business. And it's a case-by-case assessment. If you can do your job of, you know, writing opinion pieces and doing interviews from home
mm-hmm.
Without an impact on the business, then it's probably a reasonable accommodation. But if you were the receptionist
mm-hmm.
you know, at this building, you can't effectively do your job from home. It would maybe not be reasonable to provide that accommodation. So it's really a case-by-case assessment of the job. But right now, employers are mandating employees come back to work. And that's happening. The questions that are coming in now are, hey, it's like what you said. Some employees are saying, as soon as I get the vaccine, I'm willing to come back,
mm-hmm.
even though I have risk factors, because I know I'll be safer. And if you mandate it in the workplace, I'm happy to come back. And then you have the other extreme, which says, you know, no way in heck you're going to tell me what to put in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen all the conspiracy theories about chip implants and, you know, concerns about the safety of the vaccines because of how quickly they've been developed.
Yeah.
So you have people all over the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, none of I haven't heard from any clients who are really, really strongly considering mandating the vaccine. Where most clients are somewhere in the middle, which is we don't think we're going to mandate it, but we're going to do everything we can to facilitate it. Mm-hmm. So there's some issues that you need to look at in that regard. But real quick, let me get into kind of the reasons you would want to mandate it and then maybe the reasons you wouldn't want to mandate it and kind of the middle ground approach, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So the employers that are thinking about mandating the vaccine, you know, you have to look at what kind of workplace are we in. So it might make more sense to mandate vaccination if you're a hospital, right. You're dealing with COVID patients, or you're a retirement community, or you're at a workplace where you're taking care of medically fragile patients, and you can't mitigate the risk. There's close contact required. You've seen, you know, some meatpacking plants, for example, where employees are standing next to each other. Right. Massive COVID outbreaks at the beginning of the pandemic. Some of them have said, we're going to mandate vaccines to keep our staff safe.
Yeah.
So really, the first thing you have to think about is, what kind of workplace are we? Do we have high-risk populations? Is there high risk of transmission among our employees? Can we mitigate those risks? If not, you know, they're leaning towards maybe mandating. But if you're in a workplace where people can work from home, they can log on, they can call in, they can do it through the internet, or you have an office building where offices can be closed, you know, maybe you don't need to mandate it. So the first thing is, what kind of workplace do you have?
Let's take a breather here with Attorney Sean Cashmar, and let me give you a call to action in the meantime. That call, subscribe to SavannahNow.com. More and more lately, I'm told by podcast listeners and casual newspaper readers, I like what you're doing over there. How do I support you? The answer is simple. Subscribe to SavannahNow.com. And if you're already a subscriber, do business with our advertisers. We aren't public radio. We're not a nonprofit journalism outfit. We offer great journalism, and we charge you for the ability to consume it. So go to SavannahNow.com or download our app and see our product for yourself. Then hit the subscribe button to get full access for a pittance. Now, back to Sean Cashmar and insights on the COVID-19 vaccine in the workplace.
Jump in there, because the big question for me is risk to business operations. Because I'm the child of two factory workers.
Right.
I myself worked for probably the largest manufacturer in this town for several years, where they are working very, very close to each other in building something, in this instance, airplanes.
Right.
And if you lose four or five people on that assembly line, guess what? That assembly line very well may stop.
Absolutely.
So how much does that business operations risk play into this whole?
Well, that's a perfect segue. You must have been looking at my notes, because, you know, the first reason is I want to protect the workplace, and maybe you altruistically want to protect the community. So if we all get vaccinated, it's better for the community. But the next reason some companies are considering mandating vaccinations is precisely what you're talking about. If we mandate vaccinations, we can get open more quickly, we can stay open more quickly, we can get back to normal more quickly. We can open areas we've shut down, cafeteria, break room, common areas where the creative juices and the creative conversations flow. And to your point on the factory line, we can reduce costs to the business in terms of lost production time. You're going to have less absences if you're mandating vaccines. You're going to have less lost productivity and less medical care potentially. You know, somebody gets COVID and they're out, you're losing 14 days or more. If they're quarantining, it's 10 to 14 days. If they're actually sick, they could be out longer. If they get really sick and have to go to the hospital, you're incurring medical costs. And then, you know, one of the things we don't know are, what are the long-term medical costs associated with COVID? You see all these reports about people who still haven't recovered their sense of taste or smell after 3-4 months. There was an article in a paper this morning about some COVID patients experiencing psychiatric issues. There's some patients who have experienced long-term heart issues, long-term lung issues. So the bottom line is, these employers are thinking, if we mandate vaccines, we're going to save on healthcare costs, we're going to reduce absences, we're going to increase productivity, and we can get open more quickly and stay open more quickly and longer. So to your point, that's a great point. The other, you know, from the legal side, the other thing they're considering is if we mandate vaccines, we can limit our potential civil liability exposure.
Right.
So there's a bunch of laws out there. You know, there's general tort law, which says you were negligent. An employer can be negligent if you didn't provide a safe workplace, or you know, OSHA has a general duty clause, which basically says that an employer has a general duty to provide a safe workplace free from hazards. You know, so the thought process is if I mandate vaccines as an employer, you know, I'm at least eliminating the claim that we were negligent in not providing a safe workplace.
Right.
You know, workers' comp law would theoretically cover most employees who, if you come to work and you get COVID, you'd have to, for workers' comp to apply though, you'd have to show that they actually got it at work, that it was in the course of employment and arising out of employment, et cetera. You know, but the risk some employers have talked to me about is, okay, if I reopen again, you know, and I don't mandate vaccines, what if I have customers who come in and they're like, I'm not wearing a mask because I don't believe in them, and they're not vaccinated. What if they bring COVID into the workplace and I don't, you know, offer enough protections to my employees and they get COVID? Can they come after me for that? And, you know, again, the answer is maybe. So, you know, these are some of the reasons employers are looking to mandate vaccines to, you know, protect the workplace, reduce cost to the business in terms of shutdowns and lost production time. They can get open and stay open and to kind of minimize civil liability risks. On the other hand, you know, the employees, oh, there's one other thing I should mention. Another reason to potentially mandate vaccines is to protect from agency enforcement. I've had some clients where OSHA has reached out because there have been complaints about improper or not enough PPE, not providing masks, not providing, you know, 6 feet of separation, not providing plastic shields, et cetera. So right now, OSHA doesn't mandate vaccinations, but they do. They have come out and said, as part of the general duty to provide a safe workplace, you should be providing PPE and measures to kind of protect the workplace. But, you know, as vaccines become available and if more people start returning or trying to return to normal, COVID is going to continue to spread until there's, you know, substantial herd immunity, as we've talked about before. You know, I could see OSHA or some state agencies upping their enforcement. Again, I don't think OSHA or any federal or state agency is going to mandate vaccines given, you know, the political statements. But you could have an agency coming after you saying you haven't provided a safe workplace. So
de facto.
De facto. And I don't think they're going to say you have to mandate vaccines, but they could do everything but short of that. They could say your PPE efforts aren't enough. You have to provide higher level air filtration. You know, you aren't providing enough distancing between customers. You're letting too many customers into the store. Mm-hmm. So avoiding agency enforcement is usually a good thing. Complying with the law and the guidelines is the way to avoid that.
Right.
The no mandate, you know, side of the argument is probably the biggest one, is morale and employee retention. We've seen the vociferous political debate over the last several months about how to address the pandemic. You know, you've got people who think this is all a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who don't believe in masks. You think it's an infringement on their freedom. And you have people on the other side who say this isn't a hoax. Of course you need to wear masks and do all the other mitigation efforts. And we've seen that debate, you know, locally, regionally, and nationally, and we see how that plays out. Employers are concerned, if I mandate masks, you know, how am I going to enforce that? Am I going to fire my best salesperson who says, no, I'm not wearing a mask,
right,
when it impacts 30% of the business? You know, so how am I going to deal with that? Mm-hmm. Am I going to have people quit rather than wear a mask?
Mm-hmm.
6 months ago, when people were really concerned about their jobs and there was higher unemployment than there was now,
mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, people aren't willing to walk. But as the economy starts recovering, unemployment's still high, but as jobs become more available, people might be more willing to walk than to have to deal with a mask mandate. And then the other issue is, it's an administrative headache to institute a mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can say, we require everyone get not a mask mandate, a vaccine mandate, sorry. Mm-hmm. They're both administrative headaches, but
right.
We're talking about vaccines. So if you tell your workplace vaccines are mandatory, there are some exceptions that apply. Again, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, if somebody has a medical condition or a disability that could be impacted by a vaccine, then maybe you can't mandate it for that person, number one. And then number two, under Title VII, if somebody has a sincerely held religious belief that says you shouldn't get vaccinated, then perhaps you can't mandate it either. Now, there's some exceptions to the exceptions. If it would be an undue burden on the business to allow somebody to not get vaccinated, then you don't have to give them that accommodation.
Right.
And under the religious exemption, you know, if somebody has a sincerely held religious belief about vaccinations, you don't have to give them that exception either if it would be an undue burden on the business. And there it's anything that would be a de minimis or minimal burden. So a good example of that is if you're at a long-term care facility and you're you clean rooms or you're a charge nurse or, you know, you're dealing with really sick patients and your employer says, okay, if you're dealing with high-risk populations, we want you to get vaccinated. You say, no, I don't want to. I don't believe in them, or I have a medical condition. The employer there could probably say, it depends on the circumstance, but could probably say, you have to get the vaccination because of the risk to everybody else. And if you don't, we're going to transfer you to another job, which is an option, or put you on leave. Conversely, if you're working in the front office, taking care of billing, and you never deal with high-risk populations, well, maybe they have to give you an accommodation there because you're not a risk to others in the workplace. So the point that I'm trying to make with those examples is it's a case-by-case, individualized assessment. So if an employer is going to mandate vaccines, if somebody needs an exemption, you have to look not only at their personal situation, but also what their job duties are, what their risk is to others in the workplace. It's a case-by-case assessment. And doing that, if you're a 3,000-person employer and you say we're going to mandate vaccines, you might have 800 people who come back and say, no, I can't. Under the ADA or Title VII, I got an exemption. Your one or two or three-person HR department is suddenly going to be inundated with tracking down all these exemption requests. The other reason not to mandate vaccines is to avoid not only the administrative burden, but you could also avoid discrimination claims. So again, say you're a workplace, you mandate vaccines, and employees come back and say, no, I need an exemption under the ADA, or I have a sincerely held religious belief, and you as an employer say, no, we're still going to mandate it. They say, I refuse, and you let them go, or you transfer them. They can go file an EEOC charge claiming discrimination, and suddenly you're dealing with a discrimination claim. You may ultimately prevail on the claim, but you're spending time and money defending it. And some, in some workplaces, it might be initially emotionally appealing to say, yeah, we're going to mandate vaccines and be done with it because then we'll know we'll be safer. But some places you might not need them at all.
Okay.
Again, if 98% of your people work remotely, and that's efficient, and you can do it, maybe you don't need to worry about mandating. So what most employers that I've spoken with are planning on doing is probably not mandating the vaccine unless they're a high-risk workplace with a high-risk population, but they're going to do a lot of encouraging and facilitating.
Right.
And the way to do that is there's little things. So for example, the actual vaccine itself is going to be free for everybody, but healthcare providers, pharmacies, doctor's offices can charge an administrative fee. So what a lot of employers are doing are either going to arrange to have a provider come on site,
right,
and do vaccines, and they're going to cover the cost so the employee doesn't have to pay for it, or they're going to reimburse employees or pay the administrative fee associated with the vaccine so the employee doesn't have to worry about that. And then they're doing things like, okay, if we're not bringing somebody on site to administer vaccines, we're going to let employees go get them on their own. They're giving employees paid time off,
right,
to go get the vaccine. And if there's a negative reaction, if somebody has a reaction to the vaccine, They're saying, we'll give you extra time off to deal with the reaction, all paid. Mm-hmm. Because their goal is, we want everybody to get the vaccine. We want to make it as simple as possible. We don't want it to cost the employee anything. So they're looking at things like extending PTO and giving paid time off to go get it. And again, let's circle back. They're still, for the most part, planning on continuing all the COVID mitigation measures, at least for the next several months,
right,
because we don't know if the vaccines are going to prevent transmission, and we're nowhere close to herd immunity yet either. So that's the pragmatic approach that most employers are taking.
Yeah. And my pragmatic opinion is, this is why I will get the vaccine as soon as I can, because I don't trust anybody else to do the right thing and get the vaccine. But that's not a legal opinion.
Well,
it's a personal opinion.
Well, and that's, it's, you know, there's legal opinions and then there's practical opinions. Right. What the law says is one thing, but, you know, what most good employers do is kind of take the perspective you're taking, which is, I know what the law says, but what is going to give me the best return in terms of employee morale, employee health and safety, and particularly when most employees, once they receive a little bit of education, realize this is a good thing for me and my family, and I also, all I can control in this whole thing is me. I can't control others.
That's right.
And unfortunately, you know, you got to protect yourself from other people's decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
I think education is powerful. Mm-hmm. So many employers are already providing education on the vaccines. They're giving them links to the Georgia Department of Public Health, to the CDC, that, you know, that talks about the vaccines, why they're safe and effective. And I think seeing, you know, not only Dr. Fauci and and, you know, people at the national level get vaccines,
Mike Pence, Joe Biden,
you know, all those people, but seeing you have influencers, you know, sports folks getting vaccines, et cetera. But locally, I've seen a ton of doctors and nurses who I know who have large Facebook followings and Instagram followings. They're getting vaccines too, and they're putting it on social media. So I think the more we see people like that, and the more we hear from people we actually know who got the vaccine,
right,
I think the wariness and the unwillingness will fade away. And as you pointed out earlier, the numbers of people who are more willing to get it are going to go up.
Yeah. Well, when they start looking to school board members and opinion page editors to get the vaccine and follow, find inspiration, then I think we'll probably be in a good place. But Sean, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the education on this and for the piece you wrote for the paper. And we'll look forward to, I know your phone will probably continue to ring for several months on this issue, which is probably pretty good for you.
It's good for business.
Good for business. And that is one thing. This is good for business, but we still want it behind us. And I appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate you having me. Thanks.
That's all for this edition of The Commute. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Please support National Office Systems as they support this podcast. You can hear more of The Commute anytime through our archived episodes available at savannahnow.com/podcast or by searching The Commute with that Savannah opinion on your favorite podcast app. On behalf of producers Asha Gilbert and Zach Dennis, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.